Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. We welcome the Reverend Elizabeth Quellen to lead us in worship this morning. One extra intimation for you. We're looking for volunteer drivers. A member of the church has requested to get help to get to church on a Sunday morning because she's no longer able to manage herself. It would be to help her out the house, help her back in. Anybody wishing to do that, speak to Margaret Hunter at the end of the service. Thank you.
Well, welcome to worship on the second Sunday of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia, Christ is in our midst. Alleluia, Christ is our light forever. Alleluia, Christ is here, breathing peace onto us in these moments, surrounding us with grace and with hope. And so we worship this morning. We sing together hymn 531, My Jesus, My Saviour, Lord, there is none like Thee. So let us pray. Father God, all that is good and beautiful come by way of generous gift from your heart of love. All the grace we will ever need is held out to us in your hands of hope. In you we have nothing to fear. In you we have everything we need. We praise you, God of Easter. Risen Lord Jesus, through your living example, we can set aside our fears and live as God's faithful children. By your compassion, we can stand in the midst of the broken and share your healing touch with them. Lord Jesus, without you we have nothing. With you we have everything. Lord Jesus, risen in Easter, we worship you. Holy Spirit, you are the very breath that gives us life to pour out for others. You are the composer of songs of joy which echo throughout the universe. Holy Spirit, you are our comforter, our counselor, and our challenger. Without you, we have nothing. With you, we have everything. Holy Spirit of Easter, we worship you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our midst this morning. We pray that you will open us up to hear your words for us today. And hear us now as we pray the prayer our Saviour taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we sing hymn 426, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord. Reading for the second Sunday in Easter.
Our reading today is taken from John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side, and stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And the purpose of John's Gospel: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I now send you." And after this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We believe that the Lord is present with us through the power of his Holy Spirit this morning. And so we're going to sing, and I think we'll just stay seated to sing this because it's really a prayer. 619, "Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me." May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Very first time I heard that song, I thought, I'm not sure about these words. I don't mind the Spirit of the Lord falling upon me, but I'm not sure about this breaking, or this melting, or this moulding. And yet, as I've gone on in my Christian walk with the Lord, I've realised that there have been times in my life when I've had to be broken and melted before God could begin to remould me and fill me again. We're in the season of Easter, and in this season we hear over and again different accounts of the resurrection, of how Jesus appeared to different people at different times. And our reading this morning begins on the evening of that first Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. That morning, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. He'd called her name and she'd recognized him. But now it's the evening and he comes to his disciples. And we notice three things about the reading. The doors are locked. The disciples are frightened. And Jesus comes and stands in their midst. The doors were locked. The disciples were physically locked in, locked down. But they weren't just physically locked in, hiding. They were emotionally and spiritually locked in too. They were fearful. Even though the women had been and told them that they had seen the risen Lord, they still didn't believe. They were still frightened. The shadow of Golgotha, of all that they'd seen in Jesus' crucifixion, was still hanging over them in the midst of their grieving. But then into their midst, coming through the locked door, Jesus appears and shows them his hands and his side. Jesus was present in the midst of their fearfulness, in the midst of their grief, in the midst of their disbelief that he was risen. He came right into their midst and showed them his hands and his side. And that's such good news. It was good news for the disciples, and it's good news for us today, because it means that in your life and in mine, Jesus can go where no one else can go. He can reach us and reach into us anywhere and any time. There's no place where we are, no depths to which we can fall, that Jesus cannot come and be with us. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's no longer bound to the earthly walking. He can be anywhere at any time and is capable of doing anything, things beyond our wildest imagining. He can reach out and reach in and bring healing to the most complex layers of our lives that we have often suppressed or depressed, buried deep within us, locked away, because we have been frightened or ashamed. The disciples were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish authorities. They were afraid that they would find themselves suffering the same fate as Jesus. And so their fear is totally understandable. But into that fearful place, the Lord comes and begins to speak words of peace into their troubled minds and troubled hearts. It's important to pay attention to this, because fear, in a place of fear, is a place that so many people live out their lives day in and day out. Even followers of Jesus no times of fearfulness in their lives, then it's hard to shift that fear at times. There's a song that we sing in the band, and the words say, "Fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant always telling me to run. Ah, but love is resurrection. Love is resurrection." You know, there was a time a good few years ago when I fell from grace spectacularly. One evening I did something so stupid and so sinful that it caused such hurt and devastation to others. I knew I was doing something wrong, but I still did it. And my actions caused an accident. And the minute it happened, I was so struck with fear, so struck with shame, that I began to run from the scene. And I was running down the Lanark Road, and I was running to the Cartland Bridge, and I was running because in my mind I thought that what I had done was so awful that I couldn't live with myself. And so I was on my way to the Cartland Bridge with the intention of jumping off. But praise God, the police got me on the road. They saw me on the road and they got me and they put me in the back of the van and they took me down to Lanark Police Station. And I was in such a state, of fear and shame that they put me into a wee cell and a policewoman sat with me through the night for a long time until I was able to come to a place of more calm. She sat with me and she said, "It feels like the end of the world." She said, "But it's not. You've done something silly, something wrong, but it's not the end of the world and it's not the end of your life." And she kept saying that to me over and over again. And I eventually came to a place of calm. And I just wanted to go home, but they wouldn't let me out. They wouldn't let me out. They locked the door. And I sat there until morning came. And all I could say was, "Lord Jesus, can you help me? Can you help me?" And just as the dawn was beginning to break and I could see the light coming in through the wee window, I felt the peace of the Lord just coming down upon me. In the morning, I had to wait to see a community mental health nurse who said that she would be content that I be released into the company of friends, into the care of friends, who had to promise they wouldn't let me out of their sight. Fear, shame, guilt can have a terrible effect on a person. But love, compassion, mercy, grace can have a transforming effect upon a person. And over the next few days, when I felt like I was never going to be able to lift up my head again, I was shown grace and forgiveness and love from friends, from family, and from my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who stood alongside me, and helped me to stand up again and helped me to carry on in ministry again. The Lord Jesus kept coming into my locked down place. He kept coming. He came that night in the form of a policewoman who sat with me. He came the next morning in the friends who came to get me and take me to their home. He came again and again and again saying, "Peace, peace, peace." The disciples on that first night were frightened. They were locked in and locked down in fear. And there'll be other emotions going around as well that first night, because they had all run away. They had all run away from the Lord. And so there'd be that feeling of shame around as well. And into their midst comes Jesus, saying, "Peace be with you. My peace I give to you." And he breathed the Holy Spirit into them. And he said, if you forgive someone their sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. I praise God that my brothers and sisters in Christ were gracious enough to speak words of forgiveness to me and peace to me and love to me. And my family, who were so hurt, were able to say, "We love you, Mum. We love you. But don't do it again." The risen Lord Jesus met his followers at their own point of need. And as we go through the next few weeks, we'll see in the resurrection stories Jesus coming and meeting his followers at their own point of need. He met Mary in the garden in the midst of her grief. And he called her name. "Why are you weeping?" And he spoke her name, and she knew it was the Lord. He came to the disciples that first Easter evening in the locked room, and he said, "Peace be with you." And he came back the following week to meet with Thomas, who wasn't there that first night, and who had his doubts about whether Jesus was alive or not. And he came back for Thomas. And he met Thomas in his unbelief. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He came back to Peter, who was so ashamed at having denied his Lord. He came back to Peter, and after breakfast on the beach, Peter was given the opportunity again to say how much he loved the Lord. And Jesus recommissioned him. He recommissioned him in service, sending him out to feed the lambs and the sheep. And over again, all the way down through the years to this very morning, the risen Lord comes to meet us at our own point of need, saying, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." There's a story, you may have heard it, of a Sunday school teacher asking her class, what were the first things Jesus said? What were Jesus' first words when he came back from the dead? And this wee girl put her hand up and she went, I know. And the teacher said, what did Jesus say when he rose from the dead? And the wee girl went, ta-da! But that's not the way it was with our Lord. He didn't come back with trumpets blaring or waving his hands and shouting and all that, carry on, ta-da. He came quietly and gently and softly, speaking words of peace and love and mercy and grace and hope and resurrection. That's our Lord. That's our Lord who comes again and again and again. And will keep coming until that final day when he will come back and the trumpets will be sounding and all will be made new. Until then, we walk humbly with him day by day, calling out to him when we're in need and sharing that same love and peace and mercy and grace with others that we meet who need to know about the risen Lord. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are risen from the dead and you are present with us here today. We thank you that you died our death on the cross. You took our sins upon yourself so that our sins would be forgiven, that we would have new life, and that death would have no hold upon us. And so we bless you and we praise you this morning. And we pray that we will always be ready to receive your love and ready to share that love with others. For we pray in your precious name. Amen. The hymn is 555, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we wonder at your resurrection and the hope you have given us. And we remember the appearances you made to those close to you. We think of Thomas, so full of doubt, yet you recognized his need to be reassured by your presence. And so we bring you our concerns for our world. Sometimes it's hard to see your presence in the events that are unfolding. We think of the terrible situation in Ukraine that day by day just seems to get worse and worse. But we believe that, Lord, you are Lord of that land. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that you will come and bring your peace to bear into the lives of the people there. We pray for those who are locked down, huddled in underground shelters, behind closed doors, fearful of their lives. And we pray, Lord, that you will come in and be with them and minister to them at their point of need. We pray, Lord, for our Christian brothers and sisters in that land, Lord, that they will know your risen presence in their lives, that you will be the calm at the center of the storm. We pray for the Russian army, Lord, for Putin, that you will turn him back, that you will stop him in his tracks. You will close his mouth from the lies he is speaking. Lord, come and breathe your peace into the lives of those who are so distressed. We think of Peter, the rock on which you built your church, so full of commitment and then so afraid and ashamed to have betrayed you. Yet you appear to reassure him of your love and command him to feed your lambs. And so we pray for your church worldwide, all our brothers and sisters who are meeting to worship this morning. And we pray particularly for the worshiping community here and forth. Give us reassurance and openness to your guiding. We pray that we will take the good news that we know out from this building into the community, that we might speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might come alongside those who are frightened, those who are in difficulty because of debt or addiction. Lord Jesus, send us out to breathe your peace into the lives of others. We think of the women who went to the tomb and they were grief-stricken. Their hearts were so heavy, and yet you came and spoke to them. You comforted them in their time of grief. You gave them hope for the future. And so we bring before you, Lord Jesus, any this morning we know who need your healing touch, your comforting words. We pray for those who are sick in their body or their mind or their spirit, and for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. Lord Jesus, come and lay your hand of healing upon them and breathe your words of comfort into their hearts. Give them strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And in silence, we remember those who have journeyed with us in our faith life, and who have gone now to be with you in all eternity. We thank you for their influence in our lives, and we thank you that they are home at last. And so we thank you, risen Lord, for being with us today. And we thank you for your promise that I will be with you always, even to the end. And we stand today on your promise and all the promises contained in Scripture. And we bring these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Hymn 5:1-2. And so, brothers and sisters, go from here in the knowledge of a great mercy and a sure hope, in the knowledge of new birth and deep peace, in the knowledge of a strong love and a rich blessing. God is sending you out in joy. Go then, and may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you this day and forevermore.
Thank you.